You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone Cold.
I'm singing the opening song. That's how I'm sliding into episode 8 of My Sexy Podcast. My friends, thank you so much for being here. Literally, every time you come, I'm always like, I can't believe you all showed up. Here you are. You will not be disappointed. First of all, you get to finally find out what the name of the song, the opening song for this podcast is. It's called Savannah by the Clicks. Lucas Silvera sings that song. Oof, what an amazing man. And speaking of amazing men, we have an amazing woman in the audience microphone test tube today. That's the technical term for studio. My guest today, I am an admirer of. She's been on Conan. She's been a writer for W. Kamau Bell's Totally Biased. Put your hands, your feet, as well as your chub rubs together for Aparna Nancherla.
Hi!
Yay!
We're doing it!
Okay. Real talk, we've started this podcast 3 times. This is the first time you've gotten to talk.
Really? Yeah. I thought the first one I got out a hello.
You got out a hello, and then John, our producer, immediately walked in and was like, we've got to stop
He's
this.
Like, cut.
I'm like, something wrong with her?
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable voice. No, I parked my bike to a rich person's. Like, it's
wait,
just a piece of metal
where did
that
you
I
park it?
I parked it. There's a bill. We're in the Upper West Side here.
Okay.
Okay. So,
that's
guys, give us the credit we deserve.
Right now.
All right. We're in the Upper West Side. There's a doorman in the building next door.
Oh.
I parked my bike.
On
like
him.
I clipped it to his ankle, and that elitist mother effer. That elitist mother effer.
Unacceptable.
I love that I screened my fuck. With all, just like if we could put a montage of all the horrible things I've talked about in all the other episodes. It's like this, like saying fuck is going to stop me from getting the Disney sponsorship.
The check of approval.
Okay. Speaking of checks of approval, I check to approve you.
I check to approve you.
Yeah.
You get blue verification.
Blue. Oh, you know what also I didn't mention? Because credits are good. People are humble about credits, but also Aparna's on like every single Twitter, the greatest people on Twitter.
I pay for all of those.
You pay for all of those.
Like you can buy followers, you can buy
You can also
Twitter
buy
lists.
Time Magazine's
yeah.
approval.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta look into that.
Yeah.
So did you, as soon as Twitter came out, say, this is it?
No. I started Twitter, like, what year is that? 6 years ago? But
yeah.
I didn't. It was just like, you know, another thing. It's like when Facebook came out, it's like, oh, here's something to try.
Yeah.
And then I think it took me a while to, like, figure out what to do with it. Because I think people, like, you know, they have very specific things they use it for. Like, some people just use it to promote their shows.
Some people just use it to be very personal about their personal lives. I feel so bad for people that aren't comics on social media.
Oh, my God. What are they supposed to
do? They're just feeding me so much material to hate them about and also feel bad for them about.
It really is just, like, I am going to work and I ate a sandwich. It is like
just, it is just that, yeah.
How do you really punch that up if you're not?
You can't, yeah.
If you're not a comic.
Like people that use Facebook, do you have these people? Do you have, first of all, did you friend
do you
like
have people?
Do you have people in your life that you read their Facebook? And are you like me and how much different from me are you?
Let's establish it.
Actually, how much different from me are you? Because we're both
We are different. We're in different chairs.
We're
so
in
we
different,
different
chairs.
People.
We have a little bit of a different physique, slightly.
Slightly.
But you grew up near D.C.
That's right. Like in Northern
Look
Virginia.
At that. I got,
wow.
Just so the listener
did
knows.
Their research.
I got one leg straddling the arm of this chair, and I'm ready to prove that I
You're
read
so casual
before
right
this
now.
Interview. In 8th grade, you vomited.
What?
And the teacher picked it up.
That's
true. I called your 8th grade teacher.
It was fake vomit, so she just picked it up.
And it was fake vomit, and that was your first joke, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
This whole
Little
podcast is me
know.
Just being like, I figured you out, girl.
Like my deep secret.
Oh, I do want to know your deep secret. But I'm gonna wait to move in for the kill for that.
Yeah.
I've realized.
Just hone in on it.
Okay. Favorite food? Worst thing that's ever happened
to
you.
Wait, what was your Facebook question?
Oh, the Facebook thing? Okay, yeah. See, listen, this is... Do you have a podcast?
No.
Okay, it's really difficult.
Not that I know of.
It's very not difficult at all sometimes, and then other times you're like, come on and ask the good question, and come on and keep it going. And is someone trying to kill me?
Is that... That's, that would be
that's
great.
That's the most difficult
part. If that
part.
Was the only reason you started a podcast. To find out, ultimately.
Tweet in if you're trying to kill me. No, okay, so, yeah, so... I have difficult. I think probably you might have noticed if you've been listening to this podcast. Sometimes I will introduce things and then just jump into like, "What's your secret?" But the Facebook thing is that I just think when people are not comics and posting like updates about their lives, which I'm sure people that aren't comics that read comics updates are like, "Oh, like stop fucking talking about your show in San Francisco. I don't live there, and
right.
I don't think anyone's coming."
Hear about it anymore.
So then that's a punch on our end,
right?
For the people. Because
yeah.
I've got to be balanced and fair.
You have
this
to.
Is sponsored by Fox, after all. But I just think some people are just very embarrassing about the things that they put on Facebook.
Yeah, or just how they sound.
How they sound. They sound like what they're saying is the opposite of what they mean. Of like, listen, I'm a very secure person. But
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't care what anyone thinks, but please like this status.
And then some people just are so negative.
Yeah.
And it's like... Their character, like I don't know
negative.
A lot of them. Oh, I guess the Facebook question I had was, do you add like willy-nilly anybody that wants to be a friend on Facebook?
Yeah, like I think I went through a thing where I was like, well, I think some of these are just like people want to follow like when my shows are. Or, like,
it is the best. I think in some ways it's the best medium to say to actually say like I'm going to be on this show. Or whatever.
Right. But now it's kind of vague because I feel like a lot of comics just friend all the other comics immediately.
Yeah.
And then you're just, like, promoting to other comics, which feels kind of useless.
Listen, if you're asking me to defriend you, I will not. I refuse.
But now you can just follow people, like, on Twitter.
That's the move. That's the bold professional move that we should all be making, but no one
wants. Switching to a fan page?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, then you can't get all everyone's juicy juices.
Oh, you can't?
No.
That's the trade-off.
Yeah. I am not willing to give it up, and yet I know that I should give it up.
That's hard, but at the same time, I read this like study recently that it's like no one feels better after checking social media. Like you either
nobody
feels
the
same
better.
Or worse.
You definitely feel worse. No, have you ever logged onto Facebook, taken a good gander at your newsfeed, and
yeah,
been like,
been,
"Oh, I am pumped!"
Yeah, no, never.
No.
So I'm like, maybe it's like time to go.
But it's like the cheesecake of. The internet.
It's a cheesecake.
Because nothing good is going to happen, but somehow it, you know, in the moment
in
while
the
you're...
In the moment, it's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're looking... This is what it is. You're looking to feel better about yourself because you're a little bit hunting for people that are worse...
That are worse off than
you. You will come... Then you'll come across people
we're
that you're like, wait,
that
guy that lost all that weight in high school is a surgeon now? What? I'm talking about you, Sam Chaghari.
How do surgeons use Facebook?
I mean, to tell everyone, like, finally a surgeon. Take a look at the smile on my parents' faces. It can't be removed because I'll be able to take care of them forever.
Just every day. Just want to remind everyone I'm still
a
surgeon.
Still a surgeon. I have a friend that is actually a doctor. He's a friend of a friend that I'm like, I mean, he's just a hilarious.
Hilarious.
He just bought Whitney Houston's home.
Oh my! I was like,
I told him
wait,
though,
I didn't know what it was. I was like,
he just bought Whitney Houston's heart. He surgically removed it.
Oh gosh,
and
he's a surgeon.
So it wasn't really bought so much as borrowed.
Yeah.
No, he's
her
just like
home?
Super successful. Like he is the most successful. And his Facebook, I told him the last time I saw him, like people must. Like you must be responsible for some suicides for people that you went to high school with.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like
sure.
You're feeling a little low.
There are so
like,
many people spiraling on Facebook like constantly.
Yes.
All they have to do is read one status and they're like, eh, that's it.
Yeah.
But I honestly thought Whitney Houston's home was going to be like a museum.
Do you know what's crazy? I think she bought it for like $3 million and put another $2 million into it, but he bought it for like $1.5 million. He's just good
what?
At find. I don't know how.
I would have thought it would have gone for
gone
more.
Gone way more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in New Jersey.
Oh.
So maybe that area.
So
in
it's
New
not
Jersey
like.
Is.
Wait, did she live in New Jersey? I thought she lived in Los Angeles.
Well, she lived everywhere. I think that, like, you know, there's probably like 40 surgeons out there being like, I just bought Whitney Houston's house.
She has like so many homes.
For
that
sure.
makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many homes do you want? How many homes will you be happy with?
Like, at what point can I be like, that's enough?
Yeah. Because really, would you be happy with one? No. Who'd
really?
Be happy with one?
Okay, I would say then maybe three.
Yeah, three is good.
Three. East Coast, West Coast, third.
Three personal homes location. And then like three rental income homes.
Oh.
That's what I would, because that's what I would be if I was not a comic. I would be doing some kind of like,
real estate.
Oh, I love Million Dollar Listing.
Oh, I do love
I love that guy Matt's
shows.
Facebook. Because he keeps buying things and putting pictures of them online.
What that guy, Matt?
I'm saying that guy, Matt, the doctor that buys homes and puts it on his Facebook.
Does he just, like, show pictures of the home?
I mean, like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would want to see it. If yeah. You're like, I just bought a home. Let's see it. I do love look. I used to order real estate catalogs to come to my house as a kid just
yes,
to look.
You're the cutest kid.
But just, like, really fancy homes.
How did you order them? I guess online?
Yeah, it was just like my dad was on some list and then I was like, I need to make sure this never stops coming here.
Oh my God. I go to open houses sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. In LA I like to do that too because there's like the you know, you walk into these amazing.
Are they catered?
I don't think I get into the ones that are okay. catered. Sometimes there's juice.
That's not enough.
There's just one juice box in the fridge that I've stolen once. Is what I'm talking
they
about.
Pass it around.
But you is that an interest in real estate that's real that we can?
I mean, my interest is purely in just like vicariously living through other people's property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll hook you up with that Facebook.
Yeah.
Profile. If you were not a comic, what would you be?
Oh, man. Tough question.
See how I whipped it out real quick like that?
I kind of want to say a writer, but I feel like that's a cop-out because it's similar.
It's a complete cop-out, and no one's going to deal with it.
And then I wanted to say therapist, but I really just
cop-out! Everything's a cop-out!
It's all just talking about myself.
I just ask you so many personal questions and then call them cop-outs. Like, you know what? If you're not going to get real... I'm walking.
That's not an answer.
That's not an answer. What's your biggest fear? Loneliness. That's not a fucking answer. Everybody so writer, I guess I'll take writer and I will take. Do you find that when your friends have problems, you're the therapist of the group?
No,
also, I'm acting like we're in high school.
I don't
know
why I said that. I think it's because like I go to a therapist and then sometimes when I'm like listening to her talk, I'm like, what a great job she's like really helping people and she's like it's not all about her but then I was like I don't think I'd be good at it because the whole time I'd just be thinking about myself.
But don't you find that kind of if you can empathize with someone else's problems, that's what you need to be a therapist. If you're thinking about your own problems and the way to deal with it, I mean, I guess you give biased information,
right?
But that's what I do. If I'm like the best with breakups because I've really, really felt breakups. And so
I do like, I am one of those people who has like a high degree of empathy. Like if someone else is going through something, I very much like am like living through it.
If someone has pink eye, my eye waters. Not to top you, but.
Sympathy eye. But I don't know if that's good if you're a therapist because shouldn't you have some level of removal from what you're doing? I don't know.
I guess we'll have to call your therapist and ask.
Yeah.
I'll ask my mom. We'll put a pin in that. I call my mom at the end of every. Yeah,
do you really?
I put a pin in everything, first of all. Second of all, cut to me bleeding from the waist down. There's just pins in my legs. I call my mom every podcast, and then she gives me like uplifting tips.
Has she always been there?
For me, at times she's disappeared. But she's always been on the podcast. Oh, when I call?
Yeah.
I tell her. Now I program it. Like the first time it was like casual because I always assumed that my parents would be home.
Yeah.
One time I had to leave a message. I was very upset.
Oh. Your life's work ruined.
Yeah. Done. Aparna. I've got to get.
Wait, what would you be if you were in a comic? You probably
that question's a cop out, and you know it.
We already.
If I wasn't, no, I would be like I would try to like spin real estate.
Oh yeah, I think that would be fun.
I'm obsessed.
I wouldn't
with that.
Be good at it because I'm not a salesperson. Naturally.
I guess you don't spin real estate. Really, you flip it. You're supposed to flip it.
Flip it, spin it, whatever.
Just buy real estate and just spin around in it and try to up the property value based on my spins.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was telling. I bought with. So I got a place in Williamsburg, and now I'm obsessed with that idea because I also think that with what we do, because money fluctuates.
Well, you got it like you own it.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But that's the thing, and then that now I'm obsessed with it.
That's amazing.
Because it does grow, and then you know I can see. To be 100% honest, when have I lied to you?
so far,
you know, like obviously like I worked in more in TV in Canada. And
yeah,
like I've had like upswings and when I had money coming
sure.
in, and like now is a little bit, you know, I'm doing I get some corporates and stuff like that, but like TV money's TV money,
right?
And when you grab it, you got to put it in a You got to put it in a Whitney Houston home. Speaking, I guess, of TV, of like maybe a fluctuation, because I read on Jacqueline Novak's Facebook.
Yeah.
This is making me seem like all I do is be on Facebook, and it's not true in the least. JK,
you were just preparing.
I was just preparing.
Yeah.
She's what she said. She said so funny. She's the funniest. She was. You've got to listen to her episode on this.
Oh,
she just educated me on everything.
She's so eloquent.
She's very smart.
Like she's like, what is it? And then she'll just say something really brilliant. And you're like, wow.
She said, recently discovered Aparna Nantrila is the better depressive. Might as well quit. Are you a really good depressive?
Her and I talk about depression a lot. And
so did her and I. I mean,
she and I.
Listen, I like to be honest, like I like to talk about depression with every guest because, because it's just a real thing.
It's
and I think
so
that the interesting thing about podcasts, too, is like the format I guess the anonymity, maybe.
Yeah.
Jacqueline would have the right word. But like something in that realm where it's like you're not doing panel.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not like a promo thing that you can get real. And when you get real, everybody is kind of, you know, everybody has their depressive side.
Yeah. Because I feel like stand-up or a TV or panel or anything, you have to be like this sort of like soundbitey version of yourself.
Yeah, and present a certain amount of confidence for success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't be like, or if you're depressive, it has to be like this hyper version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in Real Deal, Bummer Town... do you think that it's because, like, through comedy, comedy makes you more depressed, or?
I'm not sure, like, I know I was depressive before I got into comedy, but I feel like this industry can exacerbate certain habits.
Yes.
That you have as a depressive, and also, like, like, I have always had anxiety, but I don't think it got to a level that I had to really be like, oh, I should work on this. Until I got into comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then when you say, I should work on this, do you have working on it tips?
I'm really big into cognitive behavioral stuff.
What's that one?
It's just
I know a little bit.
Well, it's just a type of, like, therapy, but it's very, like, instead of, like, talking about, like, your past or your family, it's more, like, just concrete goal setting, being like, I have this thought. What thought can I replace it with?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like actual techniques.
I feel fat. I should think about
how much like I love what swimming. Is the reality?
What's the reality?
Because a lot of times it's like distorted thoughts.
Or,
perceptions. So just sort of like reconfiguring all that.
And you and then that way you kind of reprogram your mind to as soon as you have that thought, not go to the worst and the worst and the worst thought, but to go tippy toe.
Yeah.
To another area where there's a pin.
There's
a little pin there.
You go from one pin to a less destructive pin.
So you felt progress with that, with cognitive.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I've been working on like the past maybe year and a half. And I feel like it's been the most helpful therapy I've done.
Was there ever a time where when you said, oh, hold on one second. Man, I was just getting to my Barbara Walters shit.
Was there ever a time?
Was that an impression of anyone?
That was good.
Was there ever a time where you thought you would quit comedy?
I feel like I've always sort of been like, what if I just stop? Like, I always have that floating in the back of my brain of like, what else? But then
I just freed myself.
Yeah, but then I'm like, what else would I do? And since I can never think of anything else that would that feels like pulling me in that way, I'm like, well, I can't.
Yeah, and also you're brilliant. Oh, and also
that's very
I think nice. I mean, so when I say, I guess I'm coming from a place where like, okay, I started stand up when I was 16. I'm 29. Yeah. I've been doing it a long time.
Right.
And there has definitely been times where I'm like, man, why the fuck?
Yeah.
Why would I?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I notice when I step outside of that reaction cognitively, and then I see like, you know, all these great opportunities that I've had,
right,
and like that have all come from stand up.
Yeah.
That, yeah. I mean, like, also, I feel like I'm a big like commitment person in terms of just I think your relationship with your career is like any other relationship, and
yes,
sometimes it sucks and like stand-up's hitting you and maybe you should leave,
yeah,
but yeah. But for the most part, working through those barriers,
yeah. And I think like my brain is just like naturally like gravitates towards negativity, and I think just learning not to do that, you can like be a lot more appreciative of like,
yeah,
like how many good things or like cool things you get to do.
It's, I mean, so much of life is tricking yourself.
Yeah,
in the head.
It really is. It's like weird how depression is like just looking at things very point blankly.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to sort of be like, spin it, spin reality a little.
Yeah,
flip it.
Spin flip therapy starring Aparna and Sabrina
on Bravo.
I love Bravo.
Yeah. Does anyone not love Bravo?
Bravo really picked it up and made it way better, because I never remember watching it ever until all the rich ladies started making fools of themselves.
Gosh.
That was for my
introduction. I feel like that first show was what, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and then after that they just a whole like torrent shows followed.
You've obviously been talking to Jacqueline Novak.
Wait, did she talk about Bravo?
No, just the word torrent.
I couldn't think of, I was gonna say trolley. That was my first pick, and then I was like, nope, that's not gonna come out of my
that's
mouth.
A good one.
Trolley of shows.
Now in this trolley of a podcast, I just have to, oh, one thing that I have a question of, what are your parents like?
They are both doctors.
No. Really?
Yeah. Why? Are you actually surprised? No one is ever surprised.
I'm actually surprised.
Really?
I mean, like, first of all, that's power couple.
Yeah.
That's kind of like Brad and Angelina raised you. In its own way, two doctors together.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have an older sister.
Older sister. And then also, how did they react to your comedy? I know this is like a million times you've answered it, and that's why I'm asking you to answer it in like a sort of strange like gypsy accent.
Well, I'm like, what do gypsies sound like?
That's exactly it. Perfect. You're nailing it.
I'm a gypsy.
Guys, you've got to see what she's doing with her face right now. She's totally a gypsy.
It's no, they were. I think my sister is the more rebellious one. Like, clearly, like that. The way our family breaks down, she like broke all the like rules and sort of like made them okay with whatever. So then when I came along, it was just like, as long as you like don't burn the house down.
So your sister's bad girl, bad girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or she's just always never cared to like follow the status quo.
So you had a cool older sister,
yeah,
that broke down all the barriers for,
right,
you. Nice.
So now they're like really mellow, like compared to a lot of South Asian parents I know, they're just like so chill with whatever.
How much older is your sister?
Just 2 years.
They're like, just don't fucking,
and neither of us have like
checked
off any of the things that like we're supposed to.
Like meeting your husbands.
Like marriage, kids, a career that's stable.
So within the family, is that a thing? Within their, like their,
yeah,
family?
Like all their.
They're like, oh, the poor Nancherlas.
Yeah. But I think in that sense, they've kind of like
they're
sheltered us from that expectation because they're just like, we're cool with it. So
they're smart. Obviously, they're smart, intellectual people as doctors, but also in terms of like, and they get it that life is about happiness.
Yeah.
And they get that they win by having two like strong daughters right. that are doing what they want.
Yeah.
It's funny how, I mean, it's, yeah, it's funny how like, you know, my father's family is very Muslim. He's yeah. the eldest of eight kids. And really, like, from their perspective, mm-hmm. when they look at my life, they really, like, there's so much reason for them, especially now that I came out, for them to be like, oh, she's just a lost girl right, with right. nothing. You know, I mean, what a sad waste that direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's true for what they want and what right. they believe in, all of their ideals.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to disconnect them from that value system.
That's true.
The same way there's nothing to disconnect me from this value system of looking at them and being like, guys,
yeah.
there's more to life.
Right. Get with the program or get off the program.
So your parents got off the program for yeah. you and yeah. never. So you're not very close to your extended family then?
Not as much, but like even. Yeah, I mean, I guess like I don't keep in touch with them like a lot.
Yeah. What part of India are they from?
They're from Hyderabad.
Got a tattoo to the back of my...
What?
No, I'm kidding.
What?
Hyderabad.
It's like in the south, yeah. but not the deep south. It's like the beginning of the south.
I like to think that everyone in the deep south of India is Texan.
A redneck.
Is a redneck. Redneck with an Indian accent.
Yeah.
And a redneck accent, which sounds a little something like this. Drum roll, please. Nanch.
Take it away.
Well, I done got my gun back over back in my old saddle. Gonna go shoot myself some old Mexicans.
Oh my gosh. They're still, everyone's still giving Mexico a hard time.
A lot of people are, especially that character.
I know. That was a flawless accent hybrid.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Actually, one thing, when I remember when I saw you at a show called French Toast in LA.
Is that where we met? No, we met before that.
I think so. Well, oh, I remember seeing you on stage. What had happened was. When I first moved here.
Yeah.
I'm half Pakistani. I talked a lot about my ethnicity on stage.
Okay.
And then I moved to New York, or I started coming here. I got a manager here, and I did my first Comedy Central showcase. And they're like, no, thank you, honey. Like,
yeah.
we're not doing that anymore. Oh. And I was like, but Russell Peters. And they're right. like, no, but Aziz Ansari. And then I remember seeing you and being like, oh, fuck, yeah. No, that's what I should be doing. Did you ever talk about race on stage?
I don't think so. When I started, I think... I got that a little from people where they're like, why don't
we
you want to
hear
more?
All about your dad's accent?
Right, right. But I think that's never been sort of like where my sense of humor comes from. So it never really occurred to me to write about that because I was like, I don't think that's really I'm going to do a good job with it because it's not what I naturally.
That's not where you.
Yeah.
Hone, where you, your
yeah,
funny goes.
Yeah.
What did you like? How did you start? Like, how did you, you know. Get into this crazy world.
I mean, it was kind of on a whim. I just went, I was like in college and sort of like conflicted about what I wanted to do with my life. So it was just like, I'm going to try a bunch of things. And one of them was just an open mic. Because I've always been like I write down mm-hmm. a lot of things. I journal a lot and been like, you know, kind of one of those people who stands on the sidelines and observes what's going on. So I was like, let me try stand up. Because I had, like, growing up, my mom always thought I was too shy, so she always would, like, do things to try to make me come out of my shell. So she, like, made me take a public speaking class. And I think that was, like, the first time that I realized that, like, oh, like, in a controlled environment, I actually don't mind being in front of people.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
There's, like, I guess there's, like, only two types of people in this world. But like within stand-up, I actually just watched the first episode of the new season of Last Comic. And
oh,
where like
seen
Joe
it.
Mackey is like the darling of the, oh. they're like, you destroyed. And Joe Mackey falls, I think, and Joe Pera as well.
Yeah.
Falls under the, maybe a similar category, not that you guys are similar at all, but like coming from a place where this, like getting up on stage seems like more of a hurdle for this person.
Right.
Whereas then there's like the, I mean, Dane Cook is like a hyperbole.
Yeah.
Hyperbola or hyperbole?
Hyperbole?
Hyper black.
Hyper black.
Dane Cook's hyper black. And, you know, just like someone who's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, you know, at a party, they're like.
On the table.
Yeah, on the table. Spinning.
Spinning. And putting pins.
And putting pins and things.
Classic extrovert.
Classic psychopathic extrovert.
So then that must have been like a big, or I guess, but then you use it because then that's who you are.
Yeah. And I think it's weird. In stand-up, it is almost like a natural split. Like there are like so many introverts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you find introverts sexy or extroverts sexy? Are you dating someone?
Society finds extroverts sexy.
Society also finds introverts sexy, though.
But you have to be...
If they have a French accent.
You have to be, like... I think as an introvert, there's a little... It's a harder bar to meet to be a sexy introvert. Because you can't be weird or, like, creep people out. You have to be, like, brooding.
But extroverts creep people out, too.
Do they?
Well, I definitely have had some problems creeping people out. First of all, I was actually just talking to my friend Danielle about this, that when we met, I decided that I wanted to be her friend, so I just called her all the time. And this was a time where, and I didn't even have a crush on her, I just wanted that friendship.
Yeah.
And I was tenacious and extroverted about it. Which is creepy, because it was also this vague time where, like, does caller ID exist? Does it not? Like,
yeah.
Can you? And it did for her, but it didn't for me.
But I almost feel like introverts, like, the internet has made it possible to be, like, a weird extroverted type of introvert.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm going to send out a bunch of Twitter DMs. Like, and basically do the same thing you did. I feel like there are introverts who do that. Because then you meet them in person, you're like, oh...
You're not at all as bold.
No.
You're not the person that's going to lick my pussy till it's...
Why did you keep sending that message?
Why did you keep sending that message?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I think you're right. It's hard for everyone.
That's the point that I try to get to every podcast is that I get the person to say, I think you're right.
I agree.
So then how is showcasing for you? Because...
Audition
sets or like doing when you do Conan, when the pressure is on, I guess it's just in both categories, a matter of like going over the set and being confident enough to do it.
It's weird because for me, I'm kind of I like a sense of control. So oftentimes those sets are almost easier for me because to some degree, you have to stick to the script more.
Yes.
Like you can't really just be like totally loose. Like that scares me more than being like, okay, these are my 5 minutes, I'm gonna do them.
Do you ever get drunk, or is that a control thing too
on stage?
No, I mean like in life, like,
oh,
with
control. It's hard now though, because with comedy it's like sort of like going out at night, you're working,
so
it's harder to be like, no, I'm just gonna drink a lot afterwards if you have to like do stuff the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think in that sense, I'm like, whenever I am drunk, I'm like, I should do this more. Like, it doesn't occur to me.
We should hang out more.
Yeah, we should hang out more. Beer.
So that's interesting. So showcases are, so when you did Conan, you were like, oh, this is perfect. I know exactly what I need to say and should say now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a fan of Conan? Was that like a big thing for
that
you?
Was a big thing. I mean, that was my first late night set, and honestly, that would be my top show that I would want to do.
Totally.
Just because he's like the person that I've looked up to for a really long time, because he's tall. But I was like so fun to get to do it, and they're like, everyone there is so nice, and like a bunch of their writers are stand up, so they like come by and say hi.
Yeah,
so that was really fun.
And then you're gonna be in New York for a while, you said.
Yeah.
What you doing?
Well, I live here. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I moved here for Totally Biased, and then I basically didn't move back to LA afterwards.
Good call.
Yeah, I mean, the stand up scene here is like, it's hard to argue that it's not the best.
Yeah.
Scene.
And you worked as a writer on, your first show working as a writer?
Yes.
And then what do you think about that? What do you think your ideal would be? I know, like, in a vague way, because when people are like, what do you want? Like, where do you want to go? I'm like, I can't pick. People are fixated on like Saturday Night Live, right? And it's like, no, that's one thing.
Right.
That first of all, if there's a brown girl cast on it, I have to murder her.
I mean, there's Nassim Pedrad, and I almost feel like with her, I was like, well, they checked off our group.
It's true, but it's kind of true. They need people to play different. And at the same time, also, it's not, I think people just sort of, normal people see that as like the pinnacle of comedy things that you could do in New York City.
Yeah.
So they put it together like that. But when I think about it, like when they did a casting a while ago and I put like a character reel together for it. But at the same time, like people that are at UCB every night doing flexing like a million different characters.
Yeah.
Those are people that
that's how I feel. That's how I felt about it, where I was just like, I know they put stand-ups on it, but I was just like, this isn't really my wheelhouse, and I would rather someone who just does characters.
I can't spin in this wheel.
I cannot spin.
We work in that spin. Oh,
man,
actually,
I was gonna say something, but I forgot.
Think on it, girl. Why don't I play this song while you think of it?
I'll think of it.
This song is called, here's the backstory with this song. Thank you so much, by the way, to Wild Ride, at Wild Ride on Twitter, who tweeted in the name of the song, because last episode with Phoebe Robinson, I was talking about how that song is like, that's the iconic, like, something horrific is happening song.
Yes.
And when I first started dating Shauna, my wife, whenever something like horrible was like, you know what I mean? Like as a joke, I'd be like, if we walked into a party that was like the worst. Like,
oh, that's great.
But she, in the beginning of our relationship, was just like, But she like a year later was like, what are you doing? Like, she thought that was just like, my thing.
Cause it's like Jaws. It's like the Jaws music.
Yes. Okay. It's Jaws. And the song is called Oh Fortuna. By Karloff.
Yeah, it's in so many things.
Yeah, it's in a lot of things, guys. And it's in my head and heart. So have you thought of what you
wanted to say? I did.
Say it, girl.
It was about what career do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do people ever ask you, like, whose career do you want to emulate?
Yeah, and then I'm just like someone with a lot of money that's like on camera and doing work behind the scenes and cannot be distracted. So Ellen DeGeneres would be great.
So like a hyphenate, a very successful hyphenate.
I don't know what hyphenate means.
Yes,
this is Jacqueline Novak episode all over again. I don't know what a hyphen is.
It just means you do multiple things.
Oh, hyphenate, yeah. I mean, like, I know what a hyphen is. God, I should have been at school.
Or in Zoolander, they called it the Slashy Award.
Slashy Award, yeah. I want to be honest. I want a Slashy Award. Well, I definitely, that's something that I've, a big takeaway in my career has been, you've got to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, people that fixate on like, I only want to do on-camera stuff.
Right.
It's like, well, okay, fine. But you're cutting out a whole other source of income.
Yeah.
And like, nothing's consistent.
I still feel like in a place where I'm like, I don't know that I have the option to say no to anything. Like,
you should never. I mean, I don't think you should. Unless it's something that you
are vilely like opposed to.
I actually, there was this one thing that was the first time that I was like, was this Russian television thing.
Oh my gosh, I think offered. I did that.
You did it? No, wait. It's a show that's like, but from Russian television, but it was like it's a big commitment. Are you doing it?
No.
Okay.
This was like a public access interview.
Oh yeah, no, I'm fine to do that, but it was about like, I think it's like a news parody show.
Oh.
But it's funded by Russian television.
What?
And we were making fun of America, but we could only not make fun of Russia. And I was like, I'm gay and everybody getting beaten up over there.
Yeah.
And I'm also Canadian living in the US. Like, I don't need this problem.
But it's like, how do they even like look for people? Like, I always feel like I do get weird opportunities.
Yeah. Sometimes there was like 1 month where like 4 production companies in Australia were like, hey, you want to be the host of this show? And I mean, it was all fake opportunities.
Why?
Because they're just pitch. It's all a pretend confidence thing.
That's true.
Life. They're tricking themselves and me on the internet. I get catfished with opportunities. You must
that
get
is,
it,
no,
right?
No,
like, we're developing this show. It's going to be great. All we want is for you to write it. And
yeah, I think one time I got this offer to do like this festival in Europe. And then I was just like, oh, sure. I'd love to find out more. Like what? Like this is my rate. And then they like never responded. And I was like, did they think I was going to do it for free? That's crazy.
Crazy people.
But I was going to say that, like, I think the career, I actually, like, I don't have an interest in being, like, mega famous, like, that, like, famous or to, like, a level where I'm, like, feel out of touch with.
Yeah. I mean,
people.
I think the level of, like, what I consider making it is you and me, people that have, like, it's you've made it because you're working, because you're doing. But I guess really making it, the other thing is that I don't want to have to worry about.
Right,
money
like
so
your
much.
Next,
I want stability. I want comfort.
Yeah.
So like a little bit of wealth, but it's not at all tied to like when everyone's looking at me when I go out to the beach.
Yeah. But I do like I don't like people are always like, do you want your own show? And I'm like, no, I actually don't. I wouldn't want to like be the host of a show or like the lead of a show. Like I much prefer being like small parts who just like come out, funny line, leave, or like part of an
you
ensemble.
You really wouldn't want your own show?
No.
Controversy.
I know. I hope my I just like my career dies right here.
No, I mean, I guess
I mean it feels wrong to say because that is always what your management is like asking or whatever your agent, but I don't like I mean if it was like you know a group show I would totally love to do that. I just wouldn't want the Aparna Chronicles.
You wouldn't want, and you also don't want, it sounds like, the all the bullshit that comes around with the
right. That's more what I don't like.
Yeah, you want to avoid.
I would almost be okay with being the lead of the show, but then you kind of have to be a boss, you have to be a manager. I don't want to do any of that.
Yeah
Do you know who Amy Sedaris is?
No, who is she?
She's
I'm
like,
kidding. Well, she's the best.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Like
so that's who you want.
Yeah, like she's almost like semi reclusive, but then she'll just like come out and do projects and then disappear again. I'm like,
ooh,
that's
or what about David Sedaris?
Ideal. He's great too.
Yeah,
obviously.
He gets to live in Paris.
That's so
or in
great.
France or where and like not even Paris because that's like he's
it's
too
like
cool for
Paris. Such a not real life that he lives.
Totally,
it's
such a good
best.
One.
Yeah, so something like that, I think. But again, like what you're saying, you might have to trade some stability in that sense because you're not necessarily always on people's radar.
Yeah, I think I feel like you're such a strong writer and it's very like known that you are such a strong writer that like you should always be able to pick up writing jobs.
Yeah, it's probably like though with like anything else where you have to be active enough that people sort of you're still in the loop.
Yeah. How much do you focus on your Twitter feed?
I think now it's a thing where I'm just like, it occurs to me every day naturally to be like, oh, post something here. But I don't necessarily go out of my way to be like, must post topical tweet today or, you know what I mean? It's like sort of entrenched as a habit, but I don't always think of it as like a professional.
Okay, so it's not like it's something that's now very, it's like a natural thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you like how I just interpreted what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. So what you just said is me repeating what you said. Yes. Anyways, episode 8, by the way.
That's like what so many interviews are.
Yeah. So that's what interviews are. laughter. I mean, things are funny in life.
Ha, 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 ha.
You know what? That is actually a move that I need to use in podcasts because sometimes you are thinking of the next question and that is the move is to just repeat what, you know.
Or like when you do talking heads and they're like, can you actually repeat the setup in your answer?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or when people heckle, then you need more time to think of something. And you're like, so what you just said to me was that I'm not funny.
What's really interesting about that is there's like so many stall tactics.
What's interesting about what you just said to me, which was that I'm not funny, is that, you know, if you think about it, you just said it to me. Here I am on stage.
And I am a person.
Do you don't like to do loosey-goosey, so have you ever had people say something to you and you...
I've been, like, trying to work on it, because it's obviously, like, you have to keep your own, like, performing fresh to you.
Yeah.
So it's, like, that's the stuff I try to work on more, which is just, like, being in the moment and, like, I took like a bunch of improv like when I started in DC, and so it's like a skill that I feel capable of doing. I just need to push myself to do it more.
So you just need to push yourself to do it more.
Yes.
I'm going to call.
Someone finally gets it.
If someone finally gets me. I'm going to call my mother right now.
Yeah.
She's going to give us a hot tip on life. She is a Swiss lady.
Yes.
She Phoebe Robinson told me last episode that she sounded like a villain. You be the judge. She's a very friendly villain. Calling her. The future's in our ears. Calling her in Florida.
Oh.
They are in FLA.
Right now or always?
They better be in FLA. They're not always there.
Hello.
Mommy.
Yes, Bina.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I love you from the bottom of my heart today.
You do?
Yes.
All right.
And do you love me?
Yes, I do.
Well, then, we are ready to podcast. Mom, this is my friend Aparna.
Hello.
I couldn't catch the name.
Aparna.
Well, I couldn't catch it, but that's okay. You can tell me later.
I feel like she just doesn't approve of it. She's like, I cannot wrap my head around that.
I don't know what that is.
Well, let's call her Allison.
Okay. I can hear that.
Oh, my gosh. Like a
I'm sorry.
Mom, your accent sounds too German for these jokes.
Maybe something is wrong with my hearing. I'm having problems on the phone.
It sounds like your hearing's racist because you heard Allison.
I was like selective.
Mommy,
you can send me an email with the name and I'll know the name if you want.
Okay, I'll send you an email with the name right after this talk. Aparna's a really funny comic and she was my guest today.
Okay.
We as always touched a little bit on the blues, and as always I'm looking to you for a little hit of the old Adderall.
Well, you want to get some better stuff from Dr. Oz, my friend Dr. Oz?
Sure. Yes. Is it? Wait, are you offering stuff that's better than what Dr. Oz offers?
No, not better.
Oh, it's just
No, actually, it's not really. You know,
accent?
I mean, it's not always Dr. Oz. He has guests on and they discuss different things, right?
Yes.
So, you know, things that kind of make sense to me, sometimes I make a note of it.
Okay.
You know.
I love that we're not even pretending like it's your advice anymore. Now we're just like, yeah, do you want another photocopy from Dr. Oz?
Yeah.
Well, he was talking, I forgot now who it was. It was a lady. I don't know if she was a therapist or whatever, but they were talking about clutter. They were talking about clutter, and a lot of it that they talked about made a lot of sense to me. Because I'm at an age now where I'm trying to declutter my life.
Okay.
To get rid of things that I don't need or I haven't used for, you know, a long time.
And people and family members, am I right?
It's something they were saying, and there's some clutter I'm carrying around for my kids, you know.
What?
One
Mom.
Of these days I'm going to have to get rid of that clutter too.
What do you have of mine?
Oh, old school books and notes and boxes and boxes of stuff. Archie comic books.
Those are going to be really valuable.
Maybe some trolls that you collected, you know.
Trolls that I gave haircuts to. They probably lost their value when I gave them haircuts.
You gave them all crew cuts.
I thought that was the thing.
In any case, this woman was saying physical clutter is emotional clutter, and it makes sense. Because when you kind of clean out a closet or something, whatever you clean out, it makes you feel good. It really makes you feel good. So there are some rules that you should follow, especially if you live in a small place. The first rule is the 1 year rule. If you haven't used something in 1 year, you can get rid of it because you have covered the seasons. You can't say 6 months because it could be a Christmas thing or whatever, right? And there is no room for what if, you know, what if this happens, maybe I can use it, whatever, right?
Forget about it.
Okay. Another rule is when you buy something, you have to get rid of something. So you buy a sweater, you have to get rid of a sweater. This way you don't accumulate too much garbage.
Okay.
And very important for people like Sabrina.
She always has like a very pointed, like Sabrina could work on this.
There is a place for everything, okay? If you know where you put the stuff, how many times did I get a call from wherever I was in Switzerland or whatever? Where is
we get it, you lead a glamorous whatever, life. Right? And wherever it was, Bali, Saint-Tropez.
It's not always there, okay? And we all have a chunk drawer.
Wait, no, wait, wait. You didn't. How many times did you get a call from me in Switzerland, and what was I saying?
I don't know. Maybe
where
you
are
say,
my trolls?
You know, where is the three-hole punch, or where is this, or where is that? And I'm telling you exactly where it is.
You should be happy
but
that I was,
sometimes it's
like,
not there because somebody used it and didn't put it back.
That's
right?
Probably Dad.
Well, you're
by the
his
way,
daughter, Bina.
In this world of clutter,
daughter,
does
right?
Dad stay or go?
No, but you know your shortfalls, right?
Oh, no.
You remind me of them.
For not putting stuff back where they belong, right?
Wait, are you right? Calling me short?
Well, shortfalls. I'm calling you shortfalls, okay?
What's a shortfall?
You're falling very short.
All right, cool.
Okay.
All right, let's...
Let's get to the chunk drawer. There's a chunk. Everybody has a chunk drawer.
Yeah.
And it needs to be cleaned up once in a while because it just really overflows with junk. I just recently did that. And so what this woman was saying, when you free up physical and emotional space, you will have a happier relationship with yourself and other people in your life, which is true. I think it's true. When I came to Canada, I was working as a waitress for a while. And there was this woman who was working there, too.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, that's a little bit going too far, but because she traveled a lot, she would work in Toronto, let's say, for half a year, then she would move to some other city and work there, right?
Yeah.
She'd been all over Canada. She, everything
her
that
lifestyle
she
was going too far?
Was in a suitcase. She had a suitcase, and that's what, you know, everything that she had was in there.
Oh, so you want, the ideal is to be kind of homeless.
I think that's going a little bit too far, you know.
Oh, okay, that's what was going too far.
But don't you think when you're actually cleaning out, spring cleaning or whatever you do, it makes you feel good? It's kind
yeah,
of
totally.
Yeah.
Once you get rid of things, you feel lighter.
And, you know, I mean, we have so much stuff. We have furniture and whatever. But sometimes I think, wouldn't it just be nice to have, just to start from scratch, you know?
No furniture?
Not to have all this stuff.
Are you going to...
You know.
They're going to come back from Florida, sell the place, and be hobos. Mom will be like, you know, we live out of this buggy.
But we
and it
feels
great. Amazing. Mom?
Yeah?
Once again, I think you did an amazing job. Everyone at the studio audience is going crazy for you.
Yeah, sure. How many people are in the audience?
You've got about 700 people.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mom, I didn't move to New York for nothing.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Guys, I want to hear you scream louder.
Okay, Bina, next time when you come up, you can help me clean out some stuff, okay? How's that?
As long as we don't throw out the trolls, the Archie comics, or anything that I've ever written or drawn. I need it for my any biography.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that a deal?
That's a deal, Mama Rama.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay,
call
can you
later.
Can you say Aparna Nancherla?
I can't hear it. I'm sorry, Bina. I just can't get the
Mom,
name.
Say Aparna.
Aparna.
Nancherla.
Manchura.
That's perfect.
That's pretty
That's
good.
That's perfect.
That's the name?
You turned the end into
Manchura?
Ace Ventura, but... Nancherla.
I'm going to Google it.
Google it.
Aparna Manchura. Okay?
Okay.
I'm just going to Google it right now.
Okay, Google it now and tell me. Call me later and tell me what you think. Okay?
Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I love you, Mom. Aparna, do you love my
mom?
Yes.
Manchura.
Well, nothing came up, Bina.
I'm going to have to go ahead and.
Manchura came up. Punjab and Sindh Bank Manchura.
That's who she is. She owns a bank.
I'm a bank.
Okay.
Love you very much and wish you all the best.
Bye.
Same to you too.
Bye.
Both of you, okay?
Thank
bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is the last time I talked to that lady. Talk about cleaning out the junk drawer. Gotta clean
she
her out.
She had so many tips for you.
And they were all, they all had a racist hint of racism towards you. I can't hear it. Allison. Oh, Allison. Aparna. No, I can't hear it at all.
No, I don't. It's like you're just not saying anything.
She couldn't hear what she wasn't comfortable pronouncing. Right.
And, but I like that her response was, "There's." It's like you're not saying anything.
I can't hear it.
It bleeps.
We had a blast today.
We had so much fun.
We had so much fun. Aparna, what was your most fun part?
Oh my gosh. I would say probably the part where we put pins in things.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue pinning life. Mm-hmm. Let's clean out our junk drawers. Let's, I don't know about
but
everybody
not go
having,
too far.
I also think in New York you can't really afford to have a drawer full of just junk that overflows.
No.
No, that's like a studio apartment.
That's like your security deposit.
Guys, listen, I love you. Aparna loves you. Don't
love
ever
you so
change.
Much.
Don't ever doubt it. Put a pin on it. Spin around. Buy a house.
Spin it. Pin it.
Slide Whitney Houston's heart in your pocket, and we'll see you next week. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
They were talking about clutter, and a lot of it that they talked about made a lot of sense to me.
Take off your clothes and touch the lips that you'll be kissing.